Eid is going to be tomorrow or the next day. I hope that we have the tawfiq from Allah, the ability, the blessing of being able to make use of this month. This year, in these couple of weeks that inshallah we're together, I would like to, with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cover something that is slightly different than what we spoke about last year. Last year we tried to go over concepts that were very practical. We tried to go over some of the important aspects of life in regards to our behavior towards one another, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was very, very practical. This year it's going to be a little different. But inshallah, we're going to get to that tomorrow night. Tonight being the first talk that I am blessed with giving here, I want to follow the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The Holy Prophet, when the month of Ramadan approached, and he wasn't even in the month of Ramadan, they were close to, a few days before, some of the ahadith talk about the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban, he would address the believers, the community of believers. And the importance of this talk was to prepare them for the month of Ramadan. Certain concepts that every year we need to be reminded of in order to be able to make use of this month. Every year this blessing comes, and there's 1,001 things in each and every one of our heads with regards to this month of Ramadan. Sometimes, especially in these few years that we are blessed with the month of Ramadan in the summer, which is truly a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll explain this a bit further, but it makes fasting a bit more difficult. And before, I remember in Qum, now here it's, I don't think it gets as hot as Qum does. If you've been to Qum, you know that there's multitudes of problems. One is the sun is scorching you, okay, and it's truly painful to be under that sun. The other thing is, if you get into the cabs, a lot of them don't have AC, okay, and so you're going about in this metal car that's being scorched by the sun, and therefore you feel like you're in the oven, okay. Now, some of these people who are believers, and they would like to fast, before the month of Ramadan even approaches, we start to hear comments about how difficult this year's month of Ramadan is going to be and how we're going to be able to fast. What are some of the loopholes? Maybe we can fast some other time and things like that. Okay. So sometimes some of the thoughts that are coming to our heads with regards to the month of Ramadan are not very encouraging. Okay. We may kind of move away and drift away from feeling that the month of Ramadan is truly a blessing. So I would like to go over some of the points that the Holy Prophet has gone over for us and reminded us with regards to this blessed month. And also some of what the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams, have said with regards to this month. Hopefully, praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows these words to penetrate our hearts, enable us to benefit from this blessed month. Recite a salawat. I've cut out some of the pieces of some of what the Holy Prophet has said. The first thing that I have written down here is the Holy Prophet, the way he addresses the people, he begins his talk, and he talks a bit about the holy month of Ramadan, and I've written a few passages of that. He says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَضَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ ليلة خير من ألف شهر. People, a month is overshadowing you. In other words, it's coming gradually to encompass you. The month of Ramadan has not come yet in this hadith. It's before the beginning of the month of Ramadan. So it's approaching, basically. A month is approaching that in it there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr, obviously, as the Holy Quran tells us. وَهُوَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ, and that is the month of Ramadan. فَرَضَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ. A couple of points with regards to this. One is that very simple fact that we need to think about and try to absorb this reality. Every night of our lives has a certain capacity in order for it to help us move towards perfection. Every single moment in our lives has a certain capacity. Okay. Every single minute you can recite a salawat. Every single minute you can recite surahs of the Holy Quran. Every single minute you can perform prayers. Any month in the year you can go for umrah. There are different a'mal that you can perform throughout your lives. All of the time that we have in this world is beneficial in that it provides you an opportunity and it has a capacity to help you progress towards perfection. But certain times of the year are special. The amount of action performed in them is going to be affecting us multifold, sometimes many times, sometimes, as the verse says, with regards to Laylatul Qadr, 1,000 months. Okay, this is the capacity of Laylatul Qadr. This is the first point with regards to this. Now, how is that related to every day of the month of Ramadan? The way that's related to every day of the month of Ramadan is that you can't expect that Laylatul Qadr comes and your heart is ready to absorb all that power. You can't. Doesn't work like that. All right. There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually builds you to that night. First, He has the month of Rajab. Okay. Ayna al-Rajabiyun, with plenty of dua, plenty of supplication, emphasis on fasting, recommended fasts. All right. A lot of emphasis on remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of emphasis on istighfar, asking forgiveness to purify that heart, get it ready. The month of Sha'ban, there's a lot of tawassul, again fasting and so on and so forth. Then the month of Ramadan comes, gradually we make it to Laylatul Qadr. Okay, it's a gradual process. It is not going to happen all at once. If I don't take advantage of the moments, the days and the nights before Laylatul Qadr, I'm probably, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all gracious, and He can do whatever He wishes. So if He wants, things may change, but usually it doesn't happen like that. Usually there needs to be a gradual buildup. So the first thing is Laylatul Qadr in this month that the Holy Prophet stresses on. The second point is Faradallah Siyameh. Now I'm not sure if I'm going to take the time to explain this passage or not. Very briefly, what is mentioned, the simple explanation of it, I mean, literally what it translates to, is that God has made fasting an obligation in this month. You may think to yourself, okay, well, I know that, but what's so special about that? I mean, it's an obligation. Maybe thinking that it's a burden, right? So why are we being told that you should be proud of this month. You should feel blessed by this month. One of the important things is that you have been burdened with fasting. It doesn't work like that. The obligations that we have, the fardh that we have, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen that something is so beneficial for us that He's not going to allow us not to perform it. Okay. In other words, it's something that's extremely important in our perfection. It's something which is extremely important with our self-purification, with our move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the divine. So the Holy Prophet is telling us, look, this is a month that fasting in it is so beneficial for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it an obligation for you all. I'll speak a little bit about fasting, inshallah, after this. So this is one passage. Another passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Prophet says, جَعَلَ لِمَن تَطَوَّعَ فِيهِ بِخَصْلَةٍ مِنْ خِصَالِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْبِرِّ كَأَجْرِ مَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً مِنْ فَرَائِضِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It goes back to the point that I just mentioned with a bit more explanation. They say, when you look at the a'mal that we have, you have certain recommendations and you have certain a'mal, certain actions that are considered obligations. It is commonly said that what is an obligation is a lot more rewarding compared to the recommendations. I mean, that's why the obligations are considered obligations and the recommendations are considered recommendations. Of course, a lot of times, unfortunately, we see it the other way around. Okay. We don't consider it important, for example, to avoid sin, to avoid backbiting. We don't consider it important to avoid haram occupations and jobs. We don't consider it important to avoid haram interactions, to avoid or to wear hijab, for example, or the other obligations or forbiddances, muharramat, that we have. We don't consider that as important as, for example, providing niyaz, providing food, or giving nadr, or having different programs and different adhkar and different prayers. It doesn't work like that. I don't want to discourage people from doing these recommendations. No, go ahead and do that. But the point is that there's a reason why Islam says certain things are obligations, other things are recommendations. Okay, the obligations mean that they are a lot more important. That's why they are obligations. Recommendations, if you do it, you don't do it, it's not too important. It'll benefit you, but it's not going to harm you if you don't do it. There's only one exception, of course, to that, they say. The only exception to that is, who knows? No, the example of, yes. No, there's one exception. That exception, they say, is saying salams, right? To say salam first is recommended. It's not wajib, right? But to respond, alaykum as-salam. But to respond to that is wajib. Okay. To respond to that is wajib. But the reward for starting and initiating and saying salam first is, I believe, 70 times the rewards of responding to that. This is the only exception that they mention. Of course, there's an interesting story with regards to this from Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. It's related to something that is related kind of to this month, especially in this environment, the West. Every time I come again to America, especially in the summer, it's still a shock, okay, to come from the environment where people are, to a great extent, not completely, but to a great extent, or at least publicly observing the laws of Islam, and where people are publicly just trashing the laws of Islam, okay? All over the place. Everything is just being violated. All the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are for the good of the people, are being violated. With regards to especially the interaction between genders and the sin that's all over the place. I mean, you don't even know how to drive these days. You can't look down when you're driving. It may crash. But some of the stuff that's out there, you just wish you could avoid seeing it. The story from Amir al-Mu'mineen is with regards to this interaction. I don't know if I've mentioned this last year or not, but he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh has said that I, like the Holy Prophet, initiate salam, I start salam, I give salam first to everyone, except for young women, young females. Why? Because I'm afraid that when I say salam, they respond back to me, and I hear their voice, something comes into my heart that is not worth the extra rewards of saying salam first. Now, this is a very important thing for us to learn with regards to the worry that Amir al-Mu'mineen has. If Amir al-Mu'mineen, who is ma'soom, sinless, has plenty of control over himself, is that careful, he doesn't even want to say salam, which is mustahab, to someone of the opposite gender, which is younger, and may cause him, I mean, we're talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sometimes when I read that, I feel some people are going to be thinking, what? Like, she says something and then something comes to the heart, and what are you talking about? Maybe we've gotten a little too used to certain things being all over our hearts that we're not so shocked by it. We don't get affected by it. We don't feel that something is actually happening to us. So anyway, back to this hadith. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you perform a recommendation in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to treat that as a wajib. It means that the rewards and the effects of you of the action are going to be a lot more. وَمَنْ أَدَّى فِيهِ فَرِيضَةً مِنْ فَرَائِذِ اللَّهِ كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى سَبْعِينَ فَرِيضَةً مِنْ فَرَائِذِ اللَّهِ فِي مَا سَوَاهُ مِنَ الشُّهُورِ. And whoever performs an obligation, it's like they've done that 70 times in some other month. In other words, you perform your wajib, salatul fajr, inshallah, at least, then that's going to be like praying 70 salatul fajr in the other months. So again, emphasizing the idea that what you are going to perform is going to be counted as many more times than usual. The next thing that the Holy Prophet says is, هُوَ شَهْرٌ أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَآخِرُهُ الْإِجَابَةُ وَالْعِتْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ. This blessed and noble month is a month that begins with blessing, rahmah. The midst of it is forgiveness and maghfirah, and the end of it is al-ijabah. Alright, we have begun this month. At the end of the month, someone who has been active, someone who has made use of every single minute of this month. One of the things they say about this month, we have in hadith, is even when you breathe, when you're not doing anything, when you're even sleeping, you're considered a worshiper. Okay, it's considered worship to you. But some people take that the wrong way. That makes them lazy. Okay. If we're breathing and just sitting around doing nothing and sleeping and so on and so forth, it's still worship. So let's just do that. Okay. That's not what the hadith is trying to suggest. It's trying to encourage you, look, try to get more involved. They say Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh. No, your salawats are starting to aggravate me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. They say this Imam, his tongue was constantly touching the top part of his mouth. Okay, his son, Imam Al-Kadhim, salamullah alayhi, says this. Okay. His tongue was constantly stuck to the roof of his mouth. In what way? And what is that trying to tell us? The Imam explains. When you say La ilaha illallah, there's a lot of lam there. And every time you want to pronounce that, your tongue goes to the top of your mouth. So constantly, this noble Imam was repeating this phrase, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. If you're sitting down, it doesn't cost you anything. Believe me. It's not going to make you any more thirsty or any more hungry. All right? Just La ilaha illallah. How long does it take to say that? How much energy does it take to say that? We waste a lot of time for no reason. We're just daydreaming, doing nothing. Just sitting there. Even when you're daydreaming, even when whatever you're doing, you can say La ilaha illallah. You can recite Surah At-Tawheed. When we saw Ayatullah Bahjat, every single second, his mouth was just constantly moving, dhikr. Not talking to people, ours is constantly moving too, but talking to people. He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say 1,000 times Surah Tawheed a day. It's a little scary. The reason why I'm throwing these out there is to see that there's a lot more that we can do. There's a lot to take advantage of, especially in this month. At the end of the month, if somebody's taken advantage of it, the end of the month is when the prayers are going to be answered. Al-Ijaba. There's many hajat, many needs that we all have. We all have. Some of them we understand. Some of them we realize. The more important ones, of course, unfortunately, we don't realize as much. We realize that we are in need of cash. We're in need of a good job. We're in need of this. We're in need of that. We understand that. But when it comes to the more serious needs that we have, unfortunately, we are less aware of that. But anyway, we have all of these. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to provide us with what we need. If somebody's been active throughout the month, at the end of the month, that's the time when you're going to be reaping the benefits. Now, this is talking about the month itself. This is a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with the golden opportunity. How do we benefit from this month? What all should we do? And what all should we not do? A couple of points. Going back to the point of these few years, the month of Ramadan falling in the summer, and it being Texas and it being pretty hot out here too, and the humidity doesn't help sometimes, I found a really beautiful hadith with regards to fasting in the hot season. I was talking about a recommended fast, right? So when it's a recommended fast, you can just imagine what happens if it's a wajib fast. As we mentioned, something which is wajib is more rewarding. The month of Ramadan is more rewarding. قال أبو عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام إمام الصادق سلام الله عليه. من صام لله عز وجل يوما في شدة الحر. If someone fasts, avoids food and drink, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of God the Almighty, في شدة الحر, when it's really, really hot. Now, I just want to make this point that we really don't understand what fi shiddatil har means. Most of us, maybe some of us, I don't know. Okay, a brother was speaking to me about his job and he has to work outdoors and there's no AC and so on and so forth. It's pretty difficult, I understand that. But shiddatil har, when there is no AC at all. Back in the days, there was no AC. Okay, so you work the entire day, you're sweating, you're being scorched by the sun in those regions, that in Arabia, for example, where the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt were, or in Iraq. There is nowhere to go to avoid the heat. Okay. And they did work. It's not like me. For me, it's probably the easiest. I'm sitting in my hotel under AC throughout the day. I don't have much trouble. But it's talking about people that are out there and they're in the heat, and there really isn't any escape from that heat. There is no AC. Somebody who fasts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very important to constantly remind ourselves during the fast that this is for His sake. I'm doing this because He said it. I'm doing this because He likes this. All right, this reminder is very important. Otherwise, the quality of fast is going to be very, very minimal. It's not going to be a very high quality fast. The more we remember what we're actually doing, the more rewarding it's going to be. So someone who's fasting for the sake of God, في شدة الحر, in the time where it's very, very hot, فَأَصَابَهُ ظَمَأ, and I'm sure all of you are feeling that right now. أَصَابَهُ ظَمَأ, thirst comes to them. Okay, they feel really thirsty. Okay, real thirst, not just wanting some water. Real thirst. What happens? Hadith says, وَكَلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ يَمْسَحُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَيُبَشِّرُونَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells 1,000 angels. Okay, these are not fairy tales. These are not myths. These are realities. Okay, this is the Imam telling us. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicates 1,000 angels to be touching this person's face. Okay. يَمْسَحُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَيُبَشِّرُونَهُ. They are kind of, you know, touching him in a or the person in a compassionate way. وَيُبَشِّرُونَهُ. They are giving this person that be patient, God is going to reward you. The tabshir, the good tidings of the rewards of what you're going through. Hatta idha aftar, until the point, the time when this person is going to be breaking that fast. قال الله عز وجل له ما أطيب ريحك وروحك. When the time comes, this person is breaking their fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them. Allah addresses the person. For those who like to be spoken to by God, that's very beautiful. Okay, it's very beautiful that God is speaking to the person. And it's very unfortunate that the veils over the hearts of people like myself do not allow us to witness and to hear that, to understand that. But this is what actually happens. We hope that a day comes that we're able to feel that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the person and says how good and how fresh, in a sense, is your breath. Rihuk, excuse me. Ma atyaba rihuk. If you imagine such a person who's gone through this day in the hot sun and they're very thirsty, their mouth is dry. If you get close to that person, you're probably not going to like the smell and the odor of the mouth of this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how beautiful does your mouth smell? Does your breath smell? Okay. Is this the dunya, this world has a zahir and a batin. It has an apparent side to it and it has a hidden side to it. Many times the hidden side and the apparent side are very different. The apparent side of it can be very enjoyable. People who enjoy sin, they enjoy it, right? It's the apparent side of it. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid, one of the sins that's so easy these days to commit is to go on sites that we're not supposed to go. And it's unfortunately, I mean, it's not even worth mentioning here, but some of these sins that people enjoy, they get addicted to. This is the zahir of it, the apparent side of it, is enjoyable. But the inner side of it, the reality of it, is so ugly and filthy and nasty. Okay. That's the reality of it. If we were able to see that reality, we would never even go towards it. Never. Never. And this, the breath of a person who's been fasting for the sake of Allah, it doesn't seem to be something which is very enjoyable, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says how nice and how beautiful this breath smells. وَرُوحُك, and also your ruh, your soul, through this practice of worship, has become so enlightened and beautiful. مَلَائِكَتِي, he addresses his angels at that point. مَلَائِكَتِي أَشْهِدُوا أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ, testify and be witness, I have forgiven the servant. Okay. I think all of us seriously need that. I know for myself, if I don't get forgiven in this month, God knows what my status is going to be in the hereafter. So this, with regards to the fast, we should take it very serious. We should consider this a blessing that we're able, God has given us, right? If He hadn't given us this opportunity, we wouldn't have this opportunity to get close to Him in this way. It may seem difficult, but it's actually a great opportunity that He has provided us with. Let's take it as an opportunity, not as something that we're forced to do. You know, I think maybe we've said this before here, but it's always good to remember certain points. What's really sad is when a person feels bad and considers wrong and bad something that is actually a gift to them. Okay. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping me with, I complain about it. It's for my own benefit. I treat it as though it's something that is harmful to me, as though it's something that's bad for me. I mean, just imagine you, sometimes parents, I think I feel this as being a parent, sometimes parents feel this. They're saying something and doing something to help their child, and the child complains about that very thing. Okay, and it hurts the parent, it hurts the father, the mother, that, you know, all I'm trying to do is help you. And here you are feeling like this and saying this to me. The way we feel about the fast, if we feel it to be a burden, if we feel it to be something that is, you know, it's not something that we like to do, it's something that God, for some unknown reason, has burdened me with, it's not a very good thing to do. The next thing that we have in hadith, recite a salawat, please. Is that we hope that in this month we will be able to develop ourselves or develop certain habits. Okay, we have good habits and we have bad habits. There's certain things that in this month, there's a golden opportunity that we can start developing something good into a habit, all right, where we're constantly doing it. It's not wrong. Sometimes people ask, say, you know, if somebody does something because it's their habit, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. Okay. It's actually beneficial to do things habitually in the sense that we constantly do it. We constantly do it. What am I referring to? The Holy Prophet in that hadith about the month of Ramadan says the following. It says, جَعَلَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, جَعَلَ قيام ليلة فيه يتطوع صلاة كتطوع صلاة 70 ليلة فيما سواه من الشهور. If somebody gets up before Fajr, not only to have something to eat and drink, not only to fill that belly with food and drink, which is actually recommended. Okay, we're not suggesting not to do that. In fact, we're discouraged from fasting without suhoor, without getting up and eating at least a glass of water or some milk or some drink. So it's encouraged. We're encouraged. It's recommended to do that. But it's a golden opportunity. We're waking up at that time. This is the best time throughout the day, part of the best month of the year, and we want to lose that opportunity. It only takes 20 to 30 minutes to do Salatul Layl. Okay. Only 20 to 30 minutes. It doesn't take much. Even if you don't want to do the whole thing, at least do the last 3 rak'ah. Come on, it's only going to take a couple minutes. Don't let shaitan trick you in thinking that, oh, I have a few minutes, let me keep drinking water, let me keep eating. You've had enough. Spend at least a few minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. 3 rak'ahs is not going to take much time, really. The hadith says, if you stand in prayer in the nights of the month of Ramadan, it's going to count as 70 salat, or salat 70 layla. It will count as the prayer of 70 nights. Now, if I want to interpret it the way some of the ulama do, they say that when you have the number 7 or 70 or 70,000, as we have in the Holy Quran, these numbers aren't suggesting real figures. The real figure is a lot more than that. It's just saying it's many, many, many times more. Okay, that's what it's trying to suggest. So it's not limited to actually 70 nights. It's a lot more than that. It's just trying to suggest that the rewards is many more times than just one prayer. So let's allow this to become a habit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran emphasizes this. Some of the brothers suggested when we were asking, is there an exception for where a prayer, a wajib act compared to a recommendation is less rewarding? Some were suggesting Salatul Layl. Now, that's not been mentioned in our ahadith, but what is fact is out of the recommendations that we have in Islam, Salatul Layl is something that is constantly repeated in the Holy Quran. Constantly repeated in the Holy Quran. Meaning there's 4 or 5 instances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions and talks about Salatul Layl. This is an opportunity for us to begin this, and hopefully it becomes a habit so that even after the month of Ramadan we're able to perform this. A few more points are left, and I know you're waiting for those moments of adhan so that you can break your fast. Bear with me for a couple more minutes, as I would like to share a little more from what we have with regards to this month. I'm going to skip some of those points, which are important, but I'm not going to be able to go over all of them, so I'm just going to select some. One is something that's related to the center. Now, nobody, believe me, the brothers and the management and the community, none of these guys have spoken to me about this. I'm saying this as a brother finding this in hadith. The hadith says, it was in that saying of the Holy Prophet, it says, مَنْ فَطَّرَ فِيهِ مُؤْمِنًا صَائِمًا كَانَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عِتْقُ رَقَبَهِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ لِذُنُوبِهِ فِي مَا مَضَى. Whoever gives iftar, provides iftar for other believers, even if they can provide for themselves. The idea is providing iftar for another believer. Okay. Giving something. the reward of it is going to be, in terms of monetary, like the monetary recommendations we have in Islam, all right, zakat, the recommended zakat, not the wajib one. Helping with food and drink and so on and so forth. One of the best ones and most rewarding of acts that we have, deeds that we have, that have to do with money and giving away, is the concept of freeing a slave. We don't have slaves, alhamdulillah, these days, but it was something that was prevalent at that time. They had slaves. Freeing a slave. They would buy the slave. They would have to pay loads of money to buy that slave. It's not cheap to buy. Then when they would buy it, they would free the slave. Okay. So it's not only giving away all that money, it's granting the person their freedom. Okay. You can imagine how much reward that is going to have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. So one of the best things that anyone could do is free a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us through the Holy Prophet, in this month, if you give iftar to a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to treat that as freeing a slave. Okay. Now, it's not only that. It says, وَمَغْفِرَةً لِذُنُوبِهِ, forgiveness of the... recite a salawat, please. صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. We're blessed with... with your permission, Shaykhuna. There's forgiveness in that as well, but importantly, قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ كُنَّا يَقْدِرْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُفَطِّرَ صَائِمًا. Not all of us, he says, this person who was there with the Holy Prophet, not all of us can actually give a whole meal. This is the time of the Holy Prophet. A lot worse than the recession that you guys are facing here, because they were under serious boycotts. They didn't have money. People were stripped of whatever they had. They had to leave Mecca. So you have a lot of poor people. They're sitting there. The Holy Prophet is telling them to do this, and they're saying, we don't have enough to do any of that. So what are we supposed to do? فَقَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. يُعْطِي هَذَا الثَّوَابِ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ مَذْغَةٍ مِّنْ لَبَنٍ يُفَطِّرُ بِهَا صَائِمًا. He's generous. He will give this reward to a person by just giving one drink of milk. Okay, you don't have to give an entire meal, a full meal. One drink of milk that the person breaks their fast with. أَوْ شَرْبَةٍ مِّنْ مَاءٍ عَذْبٍ. It's free, water. Okay. I don't know how free it is these days, but it's almost free. You can provide a glass of water to your brother or your sister, okay? And give that to them. If you give that, it's going to have that reward. أو تمرات لا يقدر على أكثر من ذلك. If the person can't, even a few dates is going to count. Now, the reason why I mentioned this is, as a community, one of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with is getting together. And one of the things that definitely gets people together is food. Okay. That was from the kitchen. So, it doesn't have to be a lot. Okay, I saw this hadith and I thought to myself, I gotta try to pinch in as much as I can. Now, this doesn't mean for people who can provide more to say, oh, even if you give a drink of water, it's going to count. No, that's for people who don't have more. Okay, the people are different. I'll end with this. I wanted to mention a couple more points, but we don't have time. Let's take advantage of this month. Okay, believers in Surat Al-Ahzab, I believe it is, have been divided into two groups. Okay. Maybe it's Surah Ahzab, maybe it's Surah Tawbah. I'm not 100% sure. It's about war and battle. Okay. Scary. All right. But I'm not encouraging you guys to go to war with anyone right now. Okay. The idea is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a battle. I believe it was the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk was up north towards kind of roughly where Syria today is. Okay. So it's a great distance from Medina over there. they would have to travel that distance. You can't walk that distance. Your dead body may reach there. Well, you can't walk that distance. You have to go by means of transportation. Now, many of the believers, as we just noted, in Medina, they didn't have money. They didn't have camels, they didn't have horses, they didn't have mules, they didn't have donkeys. They didn't have any means of transportation. The call for jihad came. People had different approaches to this. You had people that did have horses, did have camels, did have other means of transportation. They were saying, Prophet, can we please stay back? Okay. These are one group of believers. Okay. So in this context of paying for food and stuff, some of us who can contribute a lot more, just can we pay that bare minimum? Okay. But others, they didn't have means of transportation. They would come to the Holy Prophet crying and saying, Prophet, can you find us a means of transportation so we can go? Okay. These are two different groups of believers. I hope we are of the second category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's not a sin for you. It's okay. Don't worry that you're not coming to jihad. It doesn't help them because they're feeling in their hearts they really want to be out there doing the work. Okay, some believers are that dedicated. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this first day of the month of Ramadan, the beginning of this glorious month, this golden opportunity, that He helps us, gives us the inner motivation and intuition to want to do more, to take advantage of every single second of this noble and blessed month, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become the true companions of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all the people and all those who are helping in the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja. We ask Him to forgive our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive and those who have left this world, of their sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide all the believers, those who are present, those who are in this city but are not here present, and all believers throughout the globe. We ask Him to provide all of them with the needs and the requests that they have, inshallah, and to relieve all the oppressed people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing.